The Holy Gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing to all the wonderful things that he was doing. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There always seems to be a scene in any given movie or in any given novel that captures the essence of what a main character represents. Scenes that reveal what that particular character is all about. And I'm thinking of scenes like when Luke Skywalker says, "I am a Jedi, like my father before me," in that famous scene when he refuses to do the Emperor's bidding in Return of the Jedi, the old-school Star Wars. Or in It's a Wonderful Life, when Clarice tells George Bailey that no man is a failure who has friends. Or in The Shawshank Redemption, when Red finds a letter from his friend Andy, and it reads, "Hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things, and no good thing ever dies." In a way, this morning's gospel lesson is like one of those scenes. It gets straight to the heart of Jesus' mission. You may recall that earlier in Luke's gospel, Jesus describes his mission by quoting from the prophet Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," Jesus says, "because he had anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free." This gospel lesson captures the essence of Jesus' mission and what he represents. Now, the story for this morning begins with Jesus teaching on the Sabbath. But things get rather interesting in this lesson when Jesus heals a woman who was bent over and unable to stand up straight. And this action throws Jesus and a religious leader from the synagogue into a debate over the interpretation of the Sabbath law. And because Jesus heals on the Sabbath, which, by the way, isn't the only time that Jesus heals on the Sabbath in Luke's gospel, but because he heals on the Sabbath, scholars suggest that Jesus draws his understanding of this commandment from a specific section in Deuteronomy, chapter 5, verses 12 through 15, to be exact. And it's a section that links the Sabbath to Israel's liberation from slavery in Egypt. "Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." In this understanding, the Sabbath becomes almost like a weekly Independence Day, minus the fireworks and the sparklers. It commemorates liberation and freedom. And in Jesus' view, it should be a day of enacting, not hindering, present-day liberation for people. Jesus gets upset with this leader. He gets mad at this leader because in an attempt to maintain his own power and his own control, In an attempt to maintain the status quo, the leader actually inhibits the liberation and freedom of this woman. Now, as easy as it might be to get caught up in this debate, and as easy as it might be to focus on the wrongdoing and the disregard of the religious leader, there is a bit more to this lesson. This lesson is actually positioned directly before two well-known parables. The parable of the mustard seed, where a tiny, tiny seed grows to become a tree that shelters birds, and the parable of yeast that leavens bread. And both of these parables provide imagery for the surprising way in which God's realm breaks into the world. And there are similarities between these parables and the lesson we heard this morning. For 18 long years, the woman had been quite unable to stand up straight. And as one scholar explains, over the years, the woman had probably grown accustomed to straining to see the sun, the sky, and the stars. She had probably grown accustomed to looking down, not being able to look people in the eyes, focusing on only what was just slightly ahead of her. And yet, when Jesus lays his hands on her, after she is healed, she responds by standing up straight and praising God. And it's interesting in this story that neither she nor anyone on her behalf asks for Jesus' healing. Jesus sees the woman bent over, straining to look up, and he cherishes her. Like the mustard seed and the leaven, he recognizes what others might overlook. He recognizes her God-givenness. He recognizes that through God's healing, the woman, small and bent over, becomes a vehicle of God's praise and God's love. And this encounter between Jesus and the woman helps to draw our attention to the connection between healing and our participation in God's realm. As the ethicist and theologian Emily Towns writes, we are like the woman bent over and unable to look up and see the sun. We know only the dust and dirt underneath our feet. We struggle to see the path before us by straining and twisting because we cannot look straight ahead. To ask for healing helps us step into Jesus' invitation to mend our souls as we mend creation. And I love that last part, to mend our souls as we mend creation. In one way or another, we all probably have healing we are in need of. Healing in our lives, in our societies, in our country, in our world. When we open ourselves up to healing, as difficult as it might be, we open ourselves more fully to God's love. Earlier this summer, I came across an article in ESPN, the magazine, about Brian Rapinoe, the brother of Megan Rapinoe, the co-captain of the U.S. women's soccer team, and she also won the Golden Boot in the World Cup this past summer. And the article explained that throughout their childhood, Megan idolized her older brother, Brian. He's the one who taught her how to play soccer. He wore the number 7, so she wore the number 7. However, the article goes on to chronicle how later in his teenage years, Brian got into trouble with drugs, and he soon found himself in and out of the California state prison system. And it was during his time in prison that Brian got heavily involved in a white supremacist gang, even going as far as to have white supremacist tattoos tattooed on his body. And at one point, Brian was incarcerated at Pelican Bay, and he was put in solitary confinement. And during his time at Pelican Bay, Brian developed a friendship with the last person you would expect a white supremacist gang member to develop a friendship with. A man by the name of Sanika Shakur, a black nationalist who was also serving time in Pelican Bay. And during his time in prison, Brian and Shakur would write long letters to each other and pass them back and forth between their cells using a string and a weight. And it was through their friendship that Brian began to understand the hardships that black Americans face in this country. Brian said that Shakur taught him what it meant to be a racist and what it meant not to be a racist. The friendship helped Brian heal in a profound way. Though not immediately, Brian eventually kicked his drug habit and he had his racist tattoos lasered off or covered up. Today, he is 18 months sober, living in a reentry program and attending classes in community college. He and the other men in his reentry program were able to watch his kid sister score one of the goals in the win over the Netherlands that let the U.S. win the World Cup. He hopes himself to get involved in juvenile delinquency programs that will prevent youth from following his same path. This morning's gospel lesson reminds us that Jesus' mission, that thing that Jesus is all about, is to draw us into God's kingdom. The lesson encourages us to ponder our own need for healing, to take an honest look at those things in our lives that prevent us from living into God's work of compassion, mercy, and peace. It invites us to mend our souls as we mend creation. God invites us to be vehicles of God's praise and love. What's holding us back? Amen.